If you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 13, verse 36, that's what we're going to be today. So if you don't have a Bible, by the way, you can grab one of the black Bibles in the back, or you can just check out the screen above. We'll have the passages there. But that's what we're going to be today. And as a church, we've been going through the I am statements of Jesus. You know, he says, I am the bread, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, all these I am statements. And today we're going to focus on one of the most famous ones that he says in John chapter 14. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. That's what Jesus says about himself. Now, we want to understand what that means, because we can't make up what that means to us. We have to understand, what was John trying to communicate? What was Jesus communicating when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life? So in order for us to do that, we got to get the context of the passage. So what I want to do is I'm going to read the entire passage that we're going to be in, John 13, 36, all the way to 14, verse 9. And as I read that, listen to what's going on, right? And when I finish reading, I'm going to invite you guys to do this. After I finish reading, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord, and you guys are going to help me out and kindly inviting you to respond. Thanks be to God. Okay. So again, let me practice right now. This is the word of the Lord. You guys are going to say, okay, good. Okay. Okay. First service, they kind of messed it up. That's okay. All right. 13:36. Here's what it says. Lord, Simon Peter said to him, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Lord, Peter asked, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus replied, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, I tell you, a rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be. You know the way to where I'm going. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Lord, said Philip, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been among you all this time and you do not know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you in your word, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, there's so many of us in here walking in here with troubles, with anxiety, with worries, with all these cares. But we know that you've come so that we may have life. You've come to lift our burdens. And so I pray that as we go through this text, our burdens would be lifted, that we would feel the freedom that comes with following you. We ask all this in your name and for your glory. Amen. Now, when you see a passage like this, and Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, you have to understand that Jesus doesn't ever say things in a vacuum. He doesn't just randomly get together with his friends and go, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No, there's a reason he said this, right? And the reason was, he said, his disciples were troubled. You see that in verse 14:1, yeah? The disciples were troubled. They were anxious. They were worried. They were afraid. Now, to be troubled, if you guys don't know what troubled means, it means to be unsettled, right? This feeling that you're just not settled. Your foot is not on solid ground when everything is falling apart. Now, it's so funny because at the beginning of first service, I came into it thinking, as I was studying this passage, man, I'm just not a troubled guy. Like, things in my life seem to be settled, you know? I got a good marriage. I got good kids, right? They're kind of wild, but they're good, right? Everything seems to be okay. And what's so funny is when you're not worried, it almost feels like you don't need this kind of passage. And then what happened was I got up to preach about worry and anxiety, knowing that I'm probably not a guy that struggles with anxiety or worried or trouble. I'm probably not a guy who feels like my life is falling apart. And then I got up here and my iPad started acting up and my notes were acting up. I had the wrong sermon up. It was just all confusing. Yeah. And all of a sudden I was anxious. All of a sudden, in a split second, my world went from being secure to feeling like everything's falling apart. Like, in that moment, I was like, bruh, this is terrible. It was bad. Yeah, Eddie, you saw it. It was bad. Okay. Your boy was up here for 5 minutes, just sad, and then Kelly had to come save my life. But when you're troubled, right? Whenever you're troubled, you need something, right? You need guidance. You need help. every time, right? Like Kelly was my help, right? Kelly came up here and just helped me out, slow me down, let me breathe. Like your boy was having a panic attack up here, okay? Frozen, right? But every time we're unsettled, we have this need for counseling. We have this need to seek somebody who can guide us or lead us. This is why we talk to our friends, yeah? Like a lot of you guys don't talk to your friends until something's going wrong. You guys call each other, you guys link up, and you need other people. We always look for counseling. Now, in this world especially, there's a lot of people who need counseling that, and the counseling we seek, it steadies us, it guides us, it gives us some light at the end of the tunnel. But what Jesus says is this, he's saying to the disciples, I know there's a lot of counselors out there, and that's good. We have counselors sitting in this room who are amazing counselors, and it's a good thing. But what Jesus wants to show you today is he is the ultimate counselor, right? He is the ultimate counselor. He is ultimately the only person who can lead you, guide you, and give you hope and give you life. That's what he says in this passage. Now, the problem is, right, if Jesus really is all those things, if Jesus can give you life and Jesus can give you hope and Jesus is that thing that can make you feel secure in life, well, you have to understand the context. The context of this is Jesus is about to leave the very people who have seen him as this anchor. Right? If you know the story of the Gospels, Jesus called 12 disciples to himself and he said, hey, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And for 3 years of their life, they walked with Jesus, went with him wherever he went, saw his miracles, saw Jesus come through, right? Saw Jesus pay taxes, like all these kind of things that they seen Jesus do, right? Which is a miracle in and of itself. He paid his taxes. Jesus did all these amazing things and they walked with him and they learned at him and they sat at the feet of Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus was telling them in John chapter 13, it says, the hour had come for Jesus to depart from this world. Now this Jesus, who was their counselor, who was their teacher, who was their closest friend, who was everything they've been looking for, is telling them at this hour, he is about to leave them. He's about to be gone. And we know what it means, right? He's about to suffer, die on the cross. He's about to go to the cross. And so Peter and the other disciples, they are afraid, they are troubled, they are worried. And look at what Jesus says. Look at what it says in John 6, 13, 36. This is why Peter asked him, Lord, Simon Peter said to him, where are you going? Where are you going? If you know the disciples, it says about them that when Jesus asked them, are you going to go somewhere else? They say, Lord, where are we going to go? We left everything to follow you. Everything we left behind our family, we left behind our jobs. We gave up everything to follow you. And now you're telling us you're about to leave. Where are you going? Where are you going? So Jesus answered, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later. Lord, Peter asked, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Lord, I am willing to follow you so much that I'm willing to lay down my life for you. I'm willing to give up everything to follow you. Now, what's Peter doing here? Jesus says, where I'm going, you can't follow me. You're going to follow me later. And Peter says, Lord, I can follow you anywhere. What in me makes you think, Jesus, that I won't keep following you? You see what Peter's doing? It's the same thing that a lot of us have, okay? In order to receive help, you got to oftentimes see that you need help. That's the first step. If you don't think you need help, and a lot of times we get used to our dysfunction, we get used to bad relationships, we get used to bad friendships, we get used to bad toxic jobs, we get used to all these things, and then we just live in it as if it's normal, and then we don't think we need help, and when we don't think we need help, we never go seek it, right? A lot of times, the only times us human beings seek help is when we see our need. Right? We see our need. And so what does Jesus have to do in order to counsel Peter, in order to shepherd Peter, in order to care for Peter? He has to show Peter that you have to change from being a self-confident person who thinks that you can follow Jesus on your own strength to seeing your need for Jesus, to seeing your inability. So that's what he does, right? Peter says, Jesus, I will lay down my life for you. My confidence is I'm committed to you. I'm such a faithful Christian, right? And Peter even says in other passages, Lord, even if everybody else fell away, I would never fall away from you. Never. I'm never going anywhere, right? He's confident in his strength. And oftentimes, when you're confident in yourself, you do not seek help. But look at what Jesus says to Peter. John 13, 38. Jesus replied, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, I tell you, a rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. What is Jesus doing there? He is shattering Peter's self-confidence. What he's telling Peter is, hey, Peter, I know you think you're confident, but in a few hours, you're going to abandon me. In a few hours, you're going to deny me three times. If you know the story of Peter, Peter was the boldest disciple. And then when Jesus gets betrayed into the hands of the Roman people, the Roman Empire, When he goes to the cross to be killed, Peter is nowhere to be found. This bold guy was so afraid that it's said that in the middle of the night, a little girl walked up to him and said, Peter, aren't you one of the disciples of Jesus? Peter says, I don't know that man, and started cursing. I know some of you guys are thinking, what was a girl doing up at 3 a.m.? I have no idea. Bad parenting. But he was so afraid to be associated with Jesus. And what Jesus is reminding him is this, Peter, you're not strong enough to follow me. You're not holy enough to follow me. You're not committed enough to me that you could follow me on my own. You're going to fail me. You're going to let me down. You're going to let you down, right? And I want you to think about this. Think about all the people that have failed you. Right? How many people have told you they're going to do something and never did it? Right? How many people told you they're going to be there for you, and when you needed them most, they weren't there? What do you do with those kind of people? What I do is I don't count on them. Don't pick them on my team anymore. Don't want nothing to do with them, okay? That's what we do. But look at what Jesus does, right? What Jesus does is he exposes Peter's failure. Peter, you're going to fail me. And then it says Jesus rose again from the grave. And when Jesus rose again, it says that he went up to Peter. And when he went to Peter, he didn't say, I told you so, Peter. I told you you're going to let me down. No, John 21 says Jesus actually asked Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? And he gives Peter three opportunities to affirm his commitment to Jesus and to affirm his love for Jesus. And at that point, think about it. Peter could no longer trust in himself. So who did he have to trust in? Jesus. He had to turn to Jesus. And you know the amazing part of Peter's story is this, okay? The amazing part of Peter's story is this. Jesus told him, where I'm going, you can't follow me now, but you will follow me later. Where Jesus went is to the cross. And church history, right, tells us that Peter died a death on a cross. That he was so bold in his faith. He was afraid at first before Jesus rose again. And when he meets the counselor, Jesus Christ, who reminds him and affirms his love for Peter, Peter is so bold that in the end, he preaches to thousands of people. He preaches the gospel in Rome, the very heart of people that hated Jesus. And when they tell him, Peter, we're going to kill you on the cross. We're going to crucify you. He says, I'm unworthy to die the same way as my Savior. So crucify me upside down, which they did. Right? Peter was completely transformed by the grace of Jesus. And listen, this is what you need from a counselor, okay? When you fail, you don't need somebody to tell you you're not a failure. You need someone who knows you are absolutely a failure. But listen, in Christ Jesus, your failure can be transformed by his grace. Jesus is the only counselor who can transform your life. Every other counselor can give you good advice. Everybody can give you good advice. Everybody can give you their opinions about what you should do, but there is no one in this world who can counsel you to the point and love you to the point and show you enough grace that it's going to transform your life. Only Jesus can do that because he's the counselor that knows you. Like he knows you completely. He knows all the ways you fail. He knows the way you fall short. And listen, even though you fail him so much, he doesn't reject you. He doesn't reject you. Jesus himself says, all who come to me, I will by no means cast out. All who fail, all who are weary, all who are weak, all who are non-committal, Jesus came for you, right? And you know how freeing that is to know that? How freeing is it to know that my God loved me while I was a sinner? My God loves me even though he knows all my mistakes. See, we like to hide our mistakes. We like to hide our sin and all that. But God sees every single one of your sin and he's not going anywhere. And you know what that means? You can be real. We don't got to act like we got it all together. One of the most amazing things this week. I got to meet with one of the brothers that just got baptized last week. And I was sitting down having coffee with him. And he asked me, I was like, bro, how can I be praying for you? And usually when you talk about that, everybody always is like, just pray for, I just want to trust God more. And he was like, man, can you pray for me? Cause I just got saved and I am not motivated to read the word of God. Just not. And because he said that, I was kind of able to share with him. Me too, bro. There are times when I'm not motivated. But here's what I do. And I was able to help him, counsel him, give him some guidance on things that I do when I'm struggling. And listen, unless you're real like that, you don't get the help you need. Unless you're honest with yourself, you never grow in your faith. Right? So because Jesus shows you grace and because his love for you won't change and he knows all your mistakes, you can let him know. You can let your brothers and sisters in Christ know and know that they're going to point you to Jesus. They're going to show you grace. That's how good Jesus is, right? Because one of the biggest ways to feel trouble in your life and to feel unstable in your life is to live like a fraud. Yeah, you live thinking you got to act like you got it all together. Like, you know, if I had to act like I had it all together, being in a church would be depressing. That'd be fake, right? No, but this is the place that we can be real, because our God, who sees all, sees everything that you go through and loves you anyway, and he ain't going nowhere, church. Our God isn't going anywhere. He is not afraid of our mess. Amen? Now, that would be comforting and all to the disciples, but remember, he's about to leave. Okay, so they're still worried. Okay, Jesus is still about to leave them. So look at what it says in John 14. It says this. Jesus knows, Peter, follow the flow. Peter, you're going to fail. Disciples, I'm going to leave you. The person you're trusting in will no longer be here. How do you think they feel? Anxious, worried. That's why Jesus says this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, it's easy for us to just read those words and go, thank you, Jesus, for telling us, don't be worried. Right? You ever had somebody like that? Don't worry about it. I'm worried about it, right? But you got to imagine, Jesus, the Son of God, in John chapter 13, it actually says that Jesus, when he said these words, was troubled in his spirit, right? Jesus was troubled in his spirit. And you know why that's important? Because of this. You ever get counsel from somebody who does not understand what you're going through? Like, let me just, married couples. You ever get marriage advice from your single friends? Yeah? Right? Single friends, you're always giving marriage advice to people. You just don't know. That's how, I'm only saying that because I was that guy. Okay, I read my Bible like, oh, easy. Just submit and love and you should figure out marriage is easy, bro. Just trust God, right? And so I go out giving marriage advice, and then I got married and realized it don't work. You know, just like, no, I'm just kidding, right? But seriously, right? You don't understand, right? When I didn't have kids, I used to look around at parents at church and be like, bro, I would not raise my kid that way. You got to talk to them, right? And then you get your own kids and you're like, it don't work, right? Like all these things, right? You get all this advice, right? From people that don't know what you're going through. Well, guess what? Jesus is not one of those people who does not know what you're going through. When he says, don't be troubled, guess what he was wrestling with in his spirit? Trouble. And so he knows how to deal with those things. Jesus isn't just a counselor who gives you good advice from afar. He knows you and he knows you deeply, right? Jesus is the counselor who completely understands every single thing that you're going through, everything. Here's what Hebrews 4:15 says. For we Christians, believers, do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. When it says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are tempted, right? It means that all the trials you face, Jesus faced those same trials. Right? And probably to a more intense degree, right? He was hungry. Have you ever been hungry? He was betrayed by his friends, right? This says the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. He had nowhere to belong, right? He was suffering, the Bible says. And in this moment, he is troubled just like us, but because he understands you, because he has felt the feelings that you feel, nobody understands you better than Jesus. He's able to help you in your suffering. He's able to help you, right? He can speak to your pain. He can speak to your struggle better than anybody else can speak to your pain and struggle. Like, and here's how amazing that is, right? How many of you guys ever had a friend that you guys went through the same thing? You guys lost the same thing? You guys had the same type of childhood, the same type of struggle growing up? And don't you immediately resonate with that person, right? You resonate with that guy. You resonate with someone that lost someone that you lost, right? That struggled through the same things you struggle. Well, the Bible says Jesus is like that for us. There's nothing that you're going through that Jesus does not understand more than even you understand it. There's no one that understands what it's like to feel far from God as Jesus. The Bible says that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? No one understands those feelings better than Jesus Christ. Now, in John 14:2, when he says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms, I want to just point out how much better he understands you. He's telling his disciples, don't be troubled. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. Now, why would he say that? Well, think about this. When he says there are many rooms, what do you think Jesus is saying, right? When I read that, I go, oh my goodness, living in Hawaii, it's hard to find a room anywhere. It's hard to find a house, right? You can't find anything out here, right? You got to be balling to get a house out here. And so I'm like, oh, wow. In heaven, Jesus is preparing a place for me, and there's going to be mansions in heaven, and I'm going to live in one of those. We think of houses. We think of locations. We think of places. Why? Because we think that the solutions to we think our problems are physical problems. We think our problem is lack of money, lack of relationship, lack of all these other physical things. But Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. We think our problem is physical, so we think our solution is physical. For example, what are we praying for? Physical stuff. Lord, give me a car. Give me more money. Give me better retirement, better job, better opportunity. And so we look at this passage like this and we say, Lord, give us some room. Give us a place to belong. And here's what Jesus says. Here's why it's so interesting. In John 14:3, Jesus says, I am going to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. And I'm going to take you, not to a place. He didn't say a place. He doesn't say I'm going to take you to heaven. He doesn't say I'm going to take you to one of those mansions in the sky with streets of gold. No, he says, I'm going to come and I'm going to take you to where? To myself. Because you know how much Jesus knows you? He knows this, that even though you think all your solutions are things in this world, that if you just got those things, you'd be happy. Jesus knows that the only way for you to be truly happy is for you to have more of him, right? I want to take you to myself. Now, C.S. Lewis, he was this author, theologian, wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, but he wrote this book called Mere Christianity. And in Mere Christianity, he says this, if you find in yourself desires which this world cannot fulfill, then it must mean that you were made for another world. Like, think about it. All the desires we have for belonging, for pleasure, for joy, we try to find fulfillment of those desires in all the things of this world. Money, power, sex, rock and roll, hip hop, right? We throw that in there just in case some of you guys are like, I like hip hop. Okay, you too, right? We try to find fulfillment in all of those things. And listen, all those things always end up leaving you feeling empty. Right? They never truly satisfy you. Relationships can be great. They never truly satisfy you. And there's a reason. It's not that desiring pleasure and joy and peace and happiness are wrong. It's that if we're finding it in this life, they're misplaced. The only place to find true joy and true pleasure is in the presence of God, right? Psalm 16 says this, in God's presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. All pleasure, all joy is found in the presence of God. And so guess what? If Jesus is going to make us happy, if Jesus is going to provide joy for us, if Jesus is going to provide us something that we can hold on to, guess what he has to point us to? Not what we think we want, what we need. God's presence. And so he says, I'm going to bring you to me, church. I'm going to bring you to me. Now, that's all cool, right? But here's the problem. What happens if we can't be in the presence of God, right? Remember, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. They were walking in the cool of the day with God, right? Having a great relationship with him, naked and unashamed. They got to throw that in there, right? They were just happy. And then all of a sudden, they sin against God. And what immediately happens? Their relationship falls apart, but that's just a symptom of another thing. What happened is they've been separated from God because of their sin, right? Because of sin, all of us have sinned, right? The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. We've all sinned, and because we all sin, we are no longer allowed in the presence of God because God is holy and God is good and God is righteous. And so if we are separated from God because of our sin, and guess what? I don't know all of you, but I know all of you, and you're all sinners, okay? Everybody sinned in here. Everybody sins. And because we sin, we're separated from the joy, from the pleasure that comes with being in the very presence of God. And so the question is, how do we get back there? And that's when Jesus says these words. Look at verse 4. You know the way to where I'm going. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Lord, said Philip, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been among you all this time and you don't know me? Philip, the one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Sorry, that was not an exclamation. That was a question. Philip. So Thomas is worried, right? If you guys know Thomas, doubting Thomas. He's doubting everything, right? He is worried. Jesus, I know the way to joy and peace is in your presence, but you're leaving us. So how do we get to where you're going? How do we get there? And then Philip says, Jesus, we know that we need God. In God's presence is fullness of joy. I get it, but how can we see God then? You see, what they're saying is this, Jesus, wherever you're going, we want to go and we're lost without you. How do we find you? How do we get back to you? If you're leaving us, what do we do? You're leaving us by ourselves. And it's in the middle of those questions that Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. And notice that Jesus doesn't say, listen, I am one of many ways, right? He doesn't say I'm one of many ways. He says, I am the only way to eternal life. Right? This is what makes Jesus the best counselor, right? Jesus is the only counselor that can get you back to God. The only one. If your problem is your sin, then no other counselor can deal with your sin like Jesus. Everybody can point out your sin. A lot of people are willing to point out your sin. Nobody can provide a solution for your sin. There's no one. No one in this life. Only Jesus, right? He paves the way back to God, which is good news. Like some of us, some people, they don't like that. They're like, what do you mean? Jesus is the only way to God? I want a bunch of other ways. You don't want a bunch of other ways, right? Can you imagine if the way back to God was you, your hard work, your effort, your level of commitment? We wouldn't make it, right? How many of you guys come here on Sunday, fired up to follow Jesus, walk out this door and sin in your car home, right? If that was the way back to God, we ain't making it, fam. But Jesus says, listen, it's not based on your work. It's based on my work. And I have a perfect work. I was born of the Virgin Mary. I did not inherit a sin nature. I lived a perfect life. I loved all my people. I obeyed God completely, never doubted him, not one time. And I went to the cross. And on the cross, I died for your sins. I laid down my life. I was the substitute. I shed my blood on that cross and I died and was buried, but I rose again. And when I rose again, it meant that death had no hold on me. And because death had no hold on me, for everybody who believes in Jesus, death has no hold on you. Nobody else died for you. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, definitely not Joseph Smith, right? Nobody else died for you, okay? No one died for the sins of the world. Only Jesus Christ did that. And so that's why he is the counselor who guides us back to God, right? But he's not just a counselor that tells us there's a way back to God and it's through me. He's also the one person in our life that speaks the truth always, always. He doesn't tell us what we want to hear. He tells us the truth. He's not a truth, he's the truth. And here's why that's important, right? It means that when Jesus speaks, he's not just giving you an opinion. He's not just giving you an opinion. And you can trust that kind of word. Like how many people in your life, right? They make promises they cannot keep, right? All of us make promises that we can't keep. Jesus is the only one that can always keep his promises. And here, a lot of people I talk to, a lot of their anxiety comes because they're talking the way they talk to themselves, right? I'll never be this. I'll never get out of this. I'll always struggle. Right? There are people that just constantly talk negatively to themselves. And here's why you need Jesus, the truth teller, to speak to you. Because it doesn't matter what you say. You aren't the truth. It doesn't matter what other people say about you. They're not the truth. What matters is what Jesus says about you. And you know who Jesus says you are? Despite your failure, I love you. Right? Despite the fact that you feel unclean, Jesus says you are a holy nation. Despite the fact that you think God can't use you, Jesus says you are a royal priesthood. You are set aside for good things, which God has prepared beforehand, right? Despite what the world tells you about your life looking blessed and looking amazing, God says you are blessed, right? You are blessed. And so Jesus tells you the truth. And listen, because he speaks the truth, you can trust everything that he says. Every single thing, right? Every single thing. Now, some of you guys are still feeling anxious. You still feel lost, or it doesn't really help your situation. You're thinking about it. You're like, okay, I get it. I get the truth in our mind, but I want to just paint a picture for you, okay? Because when you leave Sunday, a lot of times we go out there and like, you don't have a pastor preaching to you. You don't have a worship team up here singing music that points you to Jesus. And so you go out there and you still struggle with anxiety and you still struggle feeling lost out there in the world. But here's why I think this passage is meant to comfort us. Look at what Jesus says in John 14:4. Jesus said to a bunch of troubled souls, a bunch of people feeling lost and unsettled, you know the way to where I'm going. If I'm the way, the truth, and the life, you know the way to where I'm going. You know the way. You're actually, what he's saying is this. Hey, you guys feel lost right now? And I want to tell you, you're actually not lost. You feel hopeless right now? And God's word to you is, you're actually not hopeless, right? You feel like you can't get through another day. And Jesus says, you actually can get through another day. And here's why. Like think about this. When I was little, I grew up in these apartments down the road in Waipahu. And comparison is a thief of joy. But I compared myself and I was like, bro, I live in a gated community. That's so crazy. It actually was not really a real gated community. It was just a gate to meant to keep us in. But anyways, it was beautiful to me when I was growing up. But I remember playing in those apartments. When I first moved in there, I used to get so anxious. So I would play around, but I would always make sure, maybe if you're a little kid, you know this, I would always make sure I see my house. Like I didn't want to not see my house because every other house felt unsafe in that neighborhood, but it probably was. But I remember just feeling like, whatever I do, just don't always see my house. I always used to turn around, but I was real little, guy. Okay? Some of you guys are like, were you 10? I was like, no, I was like 4, okay, chill. But I would see, maybe I was 6, okay. But I would play and I would make sure that I see my house. And when I didn't see my house, one day I was playing and I went a little too far and I couldn't see my house and I was so worried. I actually almost was crying. And I was running around the neighborhood trying to find my house and so afraid, so anxious. If you've ever been lost as a kid, you know what that feels like. If you ever lost a kid and you find them, they're just at the edge of tears because they feel terrible because they don't know how to get home. But what happened is as I grew up, I got to know my location a little better. I got to know my way around the neighborhood a little better. And so I could go further and further. And then I wouldn't feel anxious and I wouldn't feel afraid. Because why? I always knew how to get back home. So now I can be anywhere in Waipahu. I don't ever need to see my house. And guess what? I can get back home. And so I'm never worried about anything. That's how I was growing up. And what God says is this, listen, if you're feeling lost right now, but you're one of my kids, guess what? You always know how to get back home. If you know Jesus, you know how to get back home. Like if your marriage is struggling right now, if you're struggling right now in your marriage, which is, by the way, everybody, okay? You're struggling in your marriage, you know the solution. Look to Jesus, right? Look at what Jesus says about loving and sacrificing and taking your eyes off yourself and seeing others as more important than yourself. Look at that. If you're struggling, feeling valued, look at Jesus. Look at how he laid his life down for you. Look at how he died for you. Who cares if everybody else doesn't value you? Your Savior does, right? The solution to all of our anxiety and all of our worries is always to look at Jesus. The way back out of any of that is always looking at Jesus. Why do you guys think when Jesus talks about being anxious, he says, don't be anxious about anything. And he doesn't just leave that. I'm worried. And Jesus goes, don't worry. He says, no, no, no. Look at the grass of the field. Look at the birds of the sky. They don't toil or gather anything, yet your heavenly Father feeds all of them. And aren't you more important than a bird? Aren't you more important than the grass? Look to God. That's the answer to all your worry and all your pain and all your frustration, right? Jesus says, listen, I am the life. You find life in me. So guess what? The way back is always to look to me. That's what we do as a church. Every week when we gather, we're singing songs to point our eyes upward. We're preaching the word so you can be reminded of God's character, right? Of who God is. Because God is a God who doesn't just want to counsel you and give you good advice. God wants to give you life, eternal life. Now, this is the point of the book of John, okay? John 20, 31, it says this, these things were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, a lot of times as a church, we stop there. I just got to believe God. I just got to believe him. Okay, cool. I believe in God. No, but he continues. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. What is the point of what Jesus did so that you can have life? Everything else in this world is here to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came so that you may have an abundant life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Jesus is the counselor that gives you life, right? This is what sets him apart from everybody else. Nobody else can save you. Nobody else can give you life. Only Jesus can do that. Now, I'm sure that there are people in here right now who feel like that's cool and all, but what am I going to do with that? Right, when I go out here, nobody's gonna be telling me that throughout the week. What do I do? Well, here's the good news. Remember, Jesus, his disciples were afraid that Jesus was gonna leave them. And when Jesus left them, the counselor would leave them, their friend would leave them, their confidant would leave them, their bestie would leave them. They felt like he was gonna leave them all alone. But throughout the book of John, Jesus constantly tells his disciples, it is better for me to go away. Why? Why would it be better for Jesus to go away? Because Jesus says, because when I go away, I'm going to send you someone else. I'm going to send you, in John 4:16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to what? To be with you forever. The reason Jesus went away, one of the reasons is he went away to show the disciples that was what was better than Jesus walking beside you was Jesus living in you, right? And as a Christian, you always have the Holy Spirit living in you. When you believe in Jesus, the Bible says that you've been given the Holy Spirit to dwell in you forever. The greatest counselor in the world is living inside of you, not telling you what you want to hear, convicting you of sin, pointing you back to God, comforting you when you need it, strengthening you when you need it. Everything that you need is found in Jesus. And Jesus, his presence, his spirit is dwelling in you. And I love counselors, okay? Don't get me wrong. Counselors are important. We should seek them out more, get help when we need it. But there is no better counselor than Jesus Christ. There is no better counselor than the Holy Spirit. And because you have the Holy Spirit, you know what the best part about this is? A lot of counseling is focusing on me and my needs and what I want and helping me get better. But when Jesus gives you the Holy Spirit, what he's doing is he's giving you the counselor, not just to counsel you, but so that you can be empowered to counsel others, right? Like Peter, when Jesus says to him, you're going to fail. And he says to Peter, but when you have turned again, when you come back to me, when you receive my grace, go back and strengthen what? Your brothers. Listen, God isn't just about fixing you. He wants to fix you so that you can go out and help bring change to others. So you can be the counselor your friends need and your people need. That's why in the church, a lot of the exhortations that God gives the church is this: encourage one another in the faith. Walk with your brother and sisters. Provide for them. Right? A lot of you guys, we got to take our minds off of ourselves and see that if God really transformed us, he transformed us for a reason. If it was just to be with him, then transform me, Lord, and take me home. But it's more than that. He wants to use you to counsel, encourage, strengthen the people around you, right? That's why we have Jesus, right? In Jesus, we have someone who guides us into all truth, who loves us, who shows compassion to us, who gives us hope. And here's the good news. In Jesus, we've been given his spirit to do the same exact thing for everybody else. Amen? So let's be the counselors God calls us to be. Let's pray, church.